Joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline, here's longtime NHLer. You see him on the NHL on TNT, former Leaf, our good buddy Eddie Olczyk. How you doing, Eddie?
Hey, guys. Nice to be with you. Thanks for having me. Hope you're all well.
Yeah, we're doing well. We're watching the, I guess, history possibly go down tonight. are you tracking your own records, 18 straight games to the point back in the 80s or what?
Yeah, don't have many records. So, you know, the one you have, you kind of live off of for a long time. And I think all this has done selfishly, it's reassured me that I can tell my kids, see, I did play in the NHL a long time ago. So, you know, and I had a nice little run back in the late 80s in Toronto. But it's always fun. I mean, you know, look, at first off, to share the record with, you know, obviously a legend and not only the National Hockey League, but, you know, in Toronto with the Leafs and Daryl Sittler, and, you know, to have shared it for, you know, 33 plus years or whatever it is, it's really special. And, you know, I just always take great notice. And anytime a Leaf player goes on a nice little heater here and wonder if they can get up to that 18 game plateau. And obviously Mitch has that chance tonight against San Jose. So yeah, it's nice to reminisce and talk and people just, you know, coming out of the woodworks and reminding me. And, you know, my streak stopped against the New York Islanders. Glenn Healy was the goalie that night for the Isles, and Heels, we became teammates a couple of years later. And, you know, there's not maybe a conversation that doesn't go by where, you know, he reminds me that he stopped the streak, and, you know, and he takes great credit for it. And, you know, so it is fun, but records are meant to be broken, and we'll see if Mitch can get to number 18 and go from there. But, you know, probably more importantly for the Leafs and the fan base is that he's being a real important part of the contributions and doing what he's supposed to do. But the Leafs are playing pretty damn well and finding ways to win with a broken down defense with all the injuries that they've had. So it's been fun to watch for sure.
Eddie, can you take us back to you getting to that point when you were creeping up? I mean, with social media, this streak and the way the games are televised, it's talked about in every pregame show. It's tweeted out five times a day when it gets to the 12-game mark. What was it like in the 80s when you were doing it? Was it kind of low-key, or was you asked about it once every couple games, or what?
Yeah, no, I mean, it once we started getting into that, you know, 13, 14, 15 number, you know, all of a sudden, you know, people, you know, articles were in the, you know, in the Star and the Sun and the Globe and Mail, and, you know, that's when people were pretty much only reading newspapers and getting their information that way, or watching television. But, you know, look, at that time, there was some conversation about it. And look, I knew obviously who Daryl Sittler was. I mean, I when I was a kid growing up in Chicago, I mean, I could tell you pretty much, you know, most every player that had played in the National Hockey League, which way they shot, you know, where they played, and you know, just that's what I live for. I mean, and I knew that. And obviously, Daryl Sittler, it's not hard to know who Daryl was, obviously, with the 10-point game and, you know, everything, and being a captain of the Leafs. But, you know, when I went to Toronto and all of a sudden you're around guys like, you know, Johnny Bauer and George Armstrong and Daryl Sittler, and you see Landy McDonald come in and out every once in a while. And obviously, Borya was there when I got there, and, you know, he had been there forever. So, but yeah, there was, you know, there was some attention to it for sure. And then, you know, once we started getting really close to their old dog, then all of a sudden, you know, then it became, you know, kind of the fabric of every game, and, you know, playing on a line with Mark Osborne and Gary Lehman. And that was the year that Gary Lehman scored 50 goals. So we had a heck of a year as a line and individually, but, you know, those guys start, you know, forcing, and, you know, maybe I might've been the third. They were going to bypass the first three or four just to make sure that they got the puck to me and try to, you know, elongate the streak. So, yeah, there was a tension, but obviously I'm in the world where, you know, today, I mean, it's instantaneous and, you know, graphics going up here and there. And, you know, look, I think it's always very important. I don't care what era. And again, I think today's player is much different than in our era. Noodles and O-Dog, right? Like, I think today's player is much different. Like, do a lot of players now, and there are some that are really historians and really know, you know, guys and the type of players they were, regardless if they were born or not. Look, I mean, Mitch Marner was not born when I was playing, obviously, and Daryl Sittler, but, you know, you'd like to think that whether it's, you know, agents or representation or family, be able to, you know, explain them, like, who these guys were and, you know, what type of players they were. And, you know, I have a soft spot for, obviously, for Mitch because he wears the number 16 as I did for the years that I was in Toronto. So, but I think it's great anytime that you can, you know, be a part of history or, you know, have a chance at tying a record or being a part of it and share it with a guy like Daryl Sittler. That's pretty salty stuff and something that I'm very proud of. And here's to Mitch getting number 18 and then moving on and getting 19 and beyond. So, it'll be a lot of fun. I'm actually in Chicago tonight. I got on TNT. I got the Blackhawks and Oilers tonight. So, we got a late puck drop here. Opportunity to watch, the game tonight, and I'm sure there'll be a lot of emotion, but it's been great to go down memory lane, that's for sure.
Eddie, just before we get to the rest of the league, I just, you know, a follow-up on that is, were your teammates well aware of it? Like, does it get to a point where you're out there and they're trying to feed you the puck? Like, that's the one thing I'm trying to think about tonight with Mitch is if he gets an opportunity or somebody gets a look for him, certainly I would think the guys would be aware to try and help him out.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, it was. And, you know, what I alluded to a little bit earlier, it's just like, you know, I might have been the, you know, if you want to use the term in football, the check down, right? I might have been the fourth best option. And all of a sudden it's like, well, we're going to bypass the three best ones and we're just going to try to force the puck so that at least I could touch it, you know, and be able to make a, you know, make an offensive play. Like, I remember the game when it stopped. I mean, we had a boatload of chances. I mean, Gary Lehman had a couple of posts. I had a great chance early in the game. You know, look at it. It just wasn't meant to be, right? And somebody, you know, sent me a little note here. I went on a six-game streak right after that. In the first two games after the streak stopped, I had 7 points. I had a four-pointer against Calgary and had a three-pointer against St. Louis. So, you know, it was just like you think about it and you just go, geez, could I just not save one of those for the Islanders and beat Glenn Healy most importantly, because that's probably the thing that probably bugs me the most is that Heels is the guy that stopped the streak. But there's no doubt. I mean, your line mates and your teammates, like I said, I mean, playing with Mark Osborne and Gary Lehman, I mean, that was two unbelievable teammates, and we had just great chemistry. And just, you know, for one night, we just, you know, we had chances, Noodles, but we just couldn't, you know, we just couldn't put the puck in the back of the net. So, yeah, they do look for you. And, you know, when you got a chance at, you know, making some history, you know, most guys are going to, you know, go out of their way, and whether it's the right play or not, they, you know, they certainly want to see if, you know, you do well individually. And if you do it well individually and your guy's supposed to score, pretty good chance you're going to, you know, you're going to have a good chance at winning the game as well.
With Eddie Olczyk, speaking of records, we were joking about this earlier, Eddie. Anytime Gretzky comes off the top of the board, it's a shock. And Ovechkin passed him for road goals in his career.
Yeah.
I mean, it's honestly amazing. Like, if I had told you 20 years ago, no one would ever believe anyone would pass Gretzky in anything.
No.
And he's still rolling. It's not like that was his last goal and he's retiring after last night.
Yeah.
I mean, how do you put this into perspective, what Ovechkin continues to do?
It's blanking amazing. I mean, it really is. Like, I'm going to get a chance to see Ovi tomorrow night. I'm flying to Seattle tomorrow. I got the Kraken and the Capitals tomorrow. That game's got a chance to be 11-9 the way things are going for the Kraken and the Capitals here, you know, recently. But, you know, Brian, I think I've said this publicly and, you know, all due respect, whether you guys have heard it or not, like the one thing that I've really appreciated with Ovi, and I think it's helped him immensely, is that within the last 5 years, I think he has been more selective on his physical confrontation in the games. You know, he's being more selective on the contact, right? I think he's been able to save and conserve energy. Now, look, he still runs guys in the end boards. He had two unbelievable big hits in a game against Pittsburgh a couple of weeks ago when they were down, you know, two or three goals. But, you know, he still has that ability. But I think what has helped him is that he's bypassed some contact. Because for the longest time, I mean, he was doing everything. The physical play, the scoring of the goals, and I think he just realized, and having talked to Scotty O'Neill, one of his former assistant coaches, and then when Barry Trotz was there, it's just I think that he is obviously matured and understood, like, you know, that takes its toll. So I think over the course, again, this is just for me doing a lot of games, a lot of capital games, and rightfully so because they've been such a good team. The 4 and 5 years, again, that's just my estimation, is I think it's helped them. It's kept them healthy. He stayed away from injury. It gives him a little bit more juice and energy and has allowed him to just continue to do as well as we've seen any player in the last, maybe since Gretz, where the guy just goes out there and he's a threat every night. He can score a lot of different ways. And, yeah, everybody wants to talk about his place on the power play. But, when you start getting up into that rare air, when you're talking about Gordie Howe and Wayne Gretzky and, breaking a record on the road as far as goal scoring, it's just been unbelievable. And look, I think when he gets by 800, this is something like we have to celebrate, as a league, as fans, as media, is like, do you realize where in hell this guy is on his way to? Let's really take a step back and just let's just spell it out in layman's terms and as easy and as cleanly as we can. This guy is approaching an unbelievable number that I think all of us are just like, nah, that's never going to happen. Now, in saying that, and all due respect to Alexander Ovechkin and obviously Gordie Howe, I really believe is that if Wayne Gretzky wanted to score 1,000 goals, if Gretz wanted to score more goals when he played, he probably could have scored 300 more goals. I believe that. I really do. If he wanted to, he could have scored more goals. But, he's such an unbelievable facilitator and distributor, the assist and everything else. So, look, at that number, I'd like to find somebody that, wrote an article, 20 years ago or whenever it was and said, somebody's going to break that record. And we know what records are meant to be broken. We understand that. But what he's done has just been, I stand up and applaud. I do. It's unbelievable. And I just hope we really, really celebrate and enjoy the journey for him to see if he can stay healthy and get to within a handshake of Wayne Gretzky and really just applaud him for what he's been able to do. And it's been really incredible.
Yeah, it's funny to say that, Eddie, because I'm getting flashbacks of, I think the Quizmaster here at TSN having arguments with him about Gretzky's greatness as a goal scorer and this belief that Bossy's better, Lemieux's better, Hull might be better, Ovi might be better. I've never understood that. It's not just about when the stick hits the puck. It's everything that goes on before that. Gretzky, you just said on live radio and TV, you think he could have had 300 more goals. I don't think he gets enough. How is he not the greatest goal scorer ever, Gretzky? Yeah. How?
I believe it. I really, in my heart, believe it, is that he was obviously that awesome. But he was in situations, hundreds of times where he probably could have been selfish and said, I'm gonna get 3 or 4 tonight in the goal scoring column. But instead he gets 2 and 5 or, 1 and 4 or whatever. Now, again, I know, schematically and all that kind of stuff, but I just believe is that if he just had that, the gene of dominance, obviously, in greatness, it speaks for itself. But, to just think about that and think about how long that he played and then just sit there and go, maybe if he would have bypassed, making those plays every once in a while and those passes, think about adding in, maybe 12 or 15 every year or whatever it is. I do believe that. I think he could have probably scored 25 more goals every year for the duration of his career. And then you do the math and you sit there and go, all right, that's one thing that, and I know never is a long time. I realize that, but you'd sit there and go, 1,000 goals?
You know what's ridiculous? I just pulled up his HockeyDB, and I was looking at the points column, and I couldn't find the 200, and I thought Wayne Gretzky got 200 points multiple times. I was in the wrong category. I was in assists, and there was still 130, 120, 115, 150. I was like, this is outrageous.
Oh, Doug, what did he have? 212? Was that his best?
Yeah, 212.
Yeah. Well, he had 3 year stretch where he went 205, 208, 215 in the NHL.
I'd like to say back in the late 80s for the Leafs when I used to weigh in, I was in that number. I was in that range. That's all I said.
Well, listen, as you said, if you were in that Seattle LA game last night, I mean, anyone could be racking up Gretzky like points. Like, what a scene.
I was actually at home and I was watching it and I was sitting there going, it's 3-3 after two, and I'm sitting there going, you know what? Like, this game really does have a game. It has a chance to be like 7-6, 8-7. Like, that was my initial thought. And then it's 8-6 after 40 minutes. And now you're like, now you're scrolling the, you know, I'm, you know, old school, the Webster's Dictionary. You know, I'm not on the World Wide Web. I'm sitting there going, when's the last time you saw 20 goals in a game? You know, this, it had that feeling. It could have been, you know, it could have been 11-10 or whatever, but, really interesting. And then I don't know. I just saw this, and you guys might have more info. Did I just see that LA put Cal Peterson on waivers?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Again, today.
What a
today.
Message. It's like a kicker who missed a big field goal.
Wow. Well, he came in after, what, 6 or 7?
Yeah.
Right?
I think it was 5 he came in.
Oh, was it 5? Okay.
It was the McCann goal that went 5 hole on quick, and then they gotcha. Had enough. And then LA scored right away to tie up the game. And then right. if you look, I mean, Eddie, you were watching the game. I was watching it too. Like, yeah. Peterson, you know, it wasn't good. And he hasn't had a great start to the season. Right. You know, and talking to people in L.A. there's been a lot of inconsistency. Like, Jonathan Quick, this is his last year of his deal. And Peterson right. was supposed to push through and take over.
Sure. The noodles, that, there was a chart, though. His save percentage, his numbers year by year since 2018 are going down and down and down. Every year, mm-hmm. so there's got to be some concern there.
Yeah, well, Peterson he's not the answer there. That's the unfortunate part, and he's got first year of a three-year deal at $5 million a year.
Crazy. So. Eddie's right, a Kraken right. for real?
They are. I believe that. I mean, I was on with you guys, I think, earlier in the year, and I think I mentioned to you guys, like, the one thing that they will be able to do is that they're going to have the puck a lot more, and they're going to be able to outscore some of their deficiencies, and it just happens the next time I'm on with you guys that they put up a 9 spot and they win the game in LA last night. So, you know, look at, like, Noodles, this would be interesting. I got to look this up before I get to Seattle, but I think Martin Jones, his last 3 games that he's played, he's given up 8, 5, and 4. And he's won all three. He's won all three games because they've been able to outscore at the end of the day. Now they got Grubauer back, which has obviously been, you know, very large. And, you know, what's interesting is this trip started in Vegas, and they absolutely, now again, Vegas, you know, just kind of had a couple of tough games there where they weren't playing great, but they really shut down Vegas, and they gave up really not a lot. And then they went to Anaheim, and then, you know, a little loosey-goosey there, and I think they, you know, 6-5 might have been the final or whatever, and then obviously the game in L.A. last night. So they have the puck a lot more than they did last year, and we all know that's the best defense in the world. Now, you know, they got to get back to playing. I mean, you play against a really good team like that. I mean, you know, you probably could have lost that game easily 13 or 14-10 last night. I mean, if you're playing against a really good team. So, yeah, look at, like, the numbers – tell you is that, yes, they can sustain what they're doing. Now, the last couple of games, I know you're not going to win you're not going to win any games if you give up 8. I understand that. But when you look at the totality of 22 games, like, they won 10 games in the month of November. And the one game that they lost was the game where they had the lead late and Carson Soucy went sideways and punched Pierre-Luc Dubois in the back of the head when they had a 2-1 lead late in the game. They gave up the tire and eventually lost in overtime. So, I mean, you talk about a hell of a month. They easily should have won 11 games in a month of November. I know it's not the New Jersey Devils, but 11 games in any month is pretty damn good. So I do believe that that they've given themselves a chance to make a hell of a run here and play really important games come March, O-Dog.
Yeah, it's a big story in the NHL for sure right now. Enjoy it back in Chicago. Eddie, we'll do it again soon, buddy. We always appreciate you taking time for us.
Hey, guys, I really appreciate the time. Always great being on with you, and keep up the great work. I always enjoy catching on you guys when I'm traveling, and I'm looking forward to getting to Toronto. I'm actually going to be in TO, I think three times in about 12 days there in January. So hopefully our paths will cross at some point. If we don't talk, have a great holiday as well.
All right, buddy, you too. There he is, our good friend Eddie Olchuk, former NHLer, longtime Leaf.